Chapter 4.
The horned Arkin was clad in a silky black skin nightgown that gave an outline of her perfect figure and her perky nipples, and I did my best not to drool as I drank her in.
"I see you're true to your word," I remarked with a raised eyebrow. "I found your note earlier."
"I wish I could have been around to entertain you this afternoon, but I found myself caught up in business,"
Karth murmured.
"I'm sure you understand."
"Is that what you wore to your meeting?" I smirked. "If so, you have quite the battle strategy. Or seduction strategy. I don't know who you happened to have been meeting with."
"It would have caused quite the stir amongst my company,"
Karth agreed with a mischievous red-lipped smile, and her ivory fangs practically glowed in the dark.
"But the only person I'm concerned with seducing is you."
"You don't give up easily, do you?"
I snorted, and I thought again about fucking her like I had the Arkins I already tamed. All I had to do was pull out before I climaxed, but something about this whole situation made me nervous. Maybe Karth didn't know how I'd gotten her sisters under my power, but if she suspected, she might have some plan to get me to impregnate her.
"No."
And her russet eyes were dark with lust.
"I do not. Not when there's something I truly desire. I want you, Griff, and I will not stop until you are mine."
"Do you want me, or just my sperm in your womb?" I asked.
"Can't I have lots of both?"
She laughed. "Your persistence is pretty sexy," I admitted to her. "But I don't think betting my enemy is really the greatest idea."
"Enemy? Now, Griff, I am not your enemy. I am your friend."
"I don't really fuck my friends either," I drawled, and the green-skinned goddess let out a raspy giggle.
"Then perhaps you can call me a lover and not a friend,"
Karth suggested with a tilt of her head.
"I don't think that's going to work for me," I shrugged.
"I see the way you stare at me,"
the Arkin mused.
"At my breasts, my nipples, my legs. The way your eyes trail down to try to glimpse the valley between my thighs. And that's only when I am fully clothed. Perhaps you prefer a more fulfilling view."
Before I could say a word, Karth slid one of the thin straps of her nightgown off her muscular shoulder, repeated the motion on the other side, and shimmied out of the garment. Then it pulled onto the ground and left the horned goddess entirely naked before me. My cock grew hard as I stared at every inch of her amazing figure. Karth was right about one thing. The clothes she wore did her body no justice. Her exceptional breasts were high and firm, with dark nipples that hardened into buds as the cold air hit them. Her olive-hued torso was long and rock-hard, with abs that could only have come from strenuous exercise, and a trim waist that gave way to lightly curved hips. Her legs were impossibly lithe, and her strong thighs sent me into a daze as I imagined them wrapped around my neck. The horned goddess's mound was bare, except for a thin strip of soft, downy hair, and even from here I could tell the Arkin was soaking wet. Karth swept her dark wavy tresses over her shoulder, and they spilled prettily over one of her breasts as she watched me admire her. I swallowed.
"Why deny your attraction to me?"
the Arkin purred, and the slight rasp to her voice was impossibly sexy. Then she made her way over to me. Her hips swayed gently as she crossed the chamber, and my heart raced as she joined me on the bed. "You're asking for trouble," I murmured as my eyes swept over her.
"I like trouble,"
Karth whispered, and then the green-skinned goddess came forward, wrapped her arms around my neck, and pulled me into a kiss. Her lips were soft and supple, and I was surprised her ivory tusks didn't stab into me with the motion.
"They retract,"
she answered my thoughts in between kisses. At first, I didn't put in much effort,
but Karth's soft lips combined with her rose and pomegranate perfume was intoxicating, and I couldn't resist the Arkan's advances. So I pulled her in closer, and I cupped her tight ass in my hands as we kissed. Karth was muscular in all the right ways, and I had no doubt her impressive physique would lend her great stamina. Then the Arkan moaned as I squeezed her again.
Fuck me,
she begged, and I grabbed her even more tightly. Her breasts pushed against my chest as we kissed, and the feeling of them against me sent a rush to my lower half. The Arkan bit down on my lip, and I moaned. Karth liked it rough, eh? I could play rough, too. So I quickly rolled us over and pushed her down onto the bed. And as soon as I did, the goddess wrapped her long legs around my torso. I could feel the slick wetness of her entrance as she pressed against me, and a groan rumbled in my chest. Maker, she was so fucking hot, and all I wanted to do was to feel her wet pussy as it constricted my ready cock. I wanted to take her over and over again, fill her womb with buckets of my hot seed, and listen to her scream my name in pleasure. As we passionately kissed, I was struck with visions of a future with the Arkan. I would pump her full of my seed until it overflowed from her womb, and then I'd later enjoy the sight of her belly as it swelled with my powerful offspring. Our children would be gods with ivory horns on their heads, beautiful red eyes, and incredible power. And they would aid our army in our quest to conquer the human realm. Wait, what? I pulled away from Karth and shook my head. No, that wasn't what I wanted at all. What the fuck was I doing? I didn't want Karth to bear me half-monster children. I wanted the Horned Goddess to let me return home to my family. And I wanted her and her alliance of Arkans to surrender and give up their plans of war. So why was I picturing her pregnant with my children? Was I having a psychotic break? Was I dehydrated or something? I'm not feeling so well, I frowned, and a wave of dizziness passed through me. What was I doing? I wanted Karth. Why would I stop? My head was heavy with confusion as I wrestled with myself. I wanted to stop. I needed to stop. So why was it so difficult for me to remove myself from the Arkan?
Come back to me, Griff,
Karth whispered seductively. And when her dark red lips parted, I noticed her ivory tusks were still absent. It was strange to see her without them, though not unpleasant. For a moment, I considered pulling her back to me, but then a voice in the back of my mind advised against it. No, I think I need to lie down, I said as my head swam.
Griff.
I'm not going any further tonight, I warned her. Karth pouted slightly, but then the Arkan smoothed her hair away from her face.
Fine,
she agreed.
But I intend to lie with you.
That's all that's going to happen, I said firmly, and the green-skinned Arkan smirked. While I desperately wanted to sleep with Karth, I still couldn't trust her, or her unknown magical abilities. Yet if I spurned her entirely, the Horned Arkan wouldn't give up the information I sought. This would be a good compromise.
I suppose.
Karth gave in, and then she climbed up off me and positioned herself so she was lying beside me in the bed. The decision to let her stay was one I would likely regret, but kicking the goddess out entirely would only cause more problems for me later. So Karth wrapped her muscular arm across my chest, pulled one leg over me, and rested her cheek against me. I repositioned myself to keep her ivory horns from impaling my eyeballs, but other than the potential wounds, the physical contact was almost pleasant.
You will be mine,
Karth mused, and her sweet perfume wafted off her hair in intoxicating waves.
You won't be able to resist me forever.
We'll see about that, I muttered, and then I closed my eyes and fell into darkness, I was surprised when I woke up the next morning on an empty bed. I'd awoken in the middle of the night to Karth's body curled up against mine, but the Arkhan was nowhere to be found. While I was thankful to have a moment to myself, I was curious about the Horned Goddess's absence, and that wasn't the only thing I was curious about. What had come over me last night? One second I wanted nothing to do with Karth, and the next, it was like she was oxygen, and I'd been deprived of air for too long. Last night, my mind had been so filled with her, I could hardly think of anything else.
I think she did something to you last night,
Fi mused. Really? I asked. Maybe it hadn't all been in my imagination after all.
I can't be certain what happened exactly, but we could all feel it,
Utuni agreed.
Some type of magic attempted to infiltrate your consciousness, but you managed to overcome it. We attempted to warn you, but for some reason you couldn't hear us,
Mira Lee sighed. That's odd, I frowned. I didn't hear a word from any of you.
We were practically shouting, Sarah said. Whatever happened prevented us from communicating with you.
Maker, I breathed. This wasn't good at all.
We must keep a closer eye on Karth,
Mira Lee vowed.
Our sister is ruthless and will stop at nothing to get her way.
The Arkhans were right. If Karth was using some kind of magic on me, I needed to be extra careful around her. Once I was fully clothed, I quietly slipped out of my room and went on a search for some form of food. This habit of only eating once a day was making my stomach ache and my head feel foggy, and I needed to be alert. I was more familiar with the layout of the palace, so I managed to locate the small dining nook faster than I had the day prior. As I chewed hungrily at a hunk of seeded bread and sipped cool water from a pewter mug, I thought about the best course of action. Dio had opted to sit this mission out after the abundance of Shadal yesterday, so he was nestled inside my hip pouch asleep. My bandolier and crystals were on my person, though, so I wasn't completely helpless in case something went awry. I needed to figure out what rooms flanked the library, in case it was occupied by more Shadal, or one of the other Arkhans. I'd been lucky to have only run into the shadow creatures during my investigation yesterday, but if I ran into the Arkhans while snooping around their property... Maker, I would need divine intervention to save me.
We would not hesitate to strike them down if they attempted to harm you,
Fi growled ferociously. I appreciate that, Fi, I said, but going to war against your sisters while I am trapped here...
Master, you aren't exactly trapped,
Utuni spoke up.
Sarah could open up a portal.
It's already crossed my mind, believe me, I assured the Arkhan. It's too risky. If I leave before the week is up, Karth could unleash a herd of creatures back on Varlay. And after the last attack, they can't afford any more losses. I have to outwardly keep the peace as much as I can without getting too close.
You mean like filling her with your seed until she overflows with it?
Sarah remarked in a bitter tone.
I promised your women I would keep you safe. And if Karth keeps up this behavior, I'll have to take it as a threat. Your seed is meant for one of us, not her.
Fi whined. I don't intend on impregnating her, I reminded them. Or anyone for that matter.
Master, she approaches...
Viopa interrupted me. What? I frowned. And then I looked to my left and noticed Karth as she strode down the hall. The Arkhan was clad in her usual dark leather bodysuit, but her chestnut hair was braided back behind her. Then her russet eyes met mine, and a smile broke out on the goddess's dark lips.
Good morning, Griff,
she greeted me as she entered the room. She took the seat across from me at the table, and eyed me with a raised eyebrow. Is it morning? I wondered as I thoughtfully finished chewing. It's difficult to tell with no windows.
I'm sure it would be for a human.
Karth smirked.
But yes, it is the morning. How did you sleep?
Well enough, I answered, though I was disappointed when you were gone.
You missed me.
Karth laughed lightly.
How cute.
Where did you go off to? I asked.
Now, I can't go revealing all of my secrets.
The Horned Arkin teased, and she plucked a plump red grape from one of the bunches on the silver platters before us and popped it into her mouth. Well, how about you reveal just one? I pressed. Namely, the one you promised to tell me. Didn't we have fun together last night? I think that's worth at least one little secret. Karth chewed, and once she swallowed, she leaned forward in her seat.
The one answer you seek isn't quite so little,
she said slowly.
And I don't believe our little moment of fun last night was enough to reward you with it. You know my price.
That isn't...
fair,
Karth finished, and she gave me a wicked smile.
Of course it isn't, but I never promised to play fair.
As she spoke, she glanced back into the hallway, where the sound of footsteps rang out, and based off the clicking of heels, I could only assume it was the other Arkans.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I am running behind on an errand.
The Horned Goddess began, and she started to rise from her seat, but I reached out and grabbed her arm. Karth, you can't just leave me alone all day again, I hissed at her.
Oh? And why is that exactly?
She retorted, and she forcefully yanked back her arm and rubbed it delicately. Why are you so insistent on wasting my time? I demanded, and my volume raised considerably. I came here to get answers from you.
And now you're demanding them rather than asking me nicely.
Karth cut me off.
I never promised you an itinerary. I'll answer your questions before the time is up.
I'm starting to think you were lying, I growled. Were you ever going to tell me anything about them, or was it all a lie?
I agreed to tell you all about R'lod and his beloved Genevieve, but that information comes at a cost, and you come to me with an empty purse.
Karth replied with a raised chin. You can't make up terms after a deal has already been established. I glared at her. I'm here for a week.
You think I can't change the deal?
The goddess fired back, and her body language exuded pure power as she straightened her spine.
The last time I checked, Peacemaker, this is my home. I can do as I wish, and I don't need your permission to do anything. You, however, your position in this ordeal is a bit more precarious. I intend to keep my word and stay out of your beloved Mistral. But should you continue in this manner, I might have to break my vow.
I was about to shout back at her, but I felt the Arkans stir in my mind.
Master, let her go for now, Sarah insisted. I know you wish to fight for what you want, and normally I would encourage it. But now is not the time to push. You need to focus on other things while she is off with the other Arkans.
As much as I didn't wish to admit it, Sarah was right. So I relaxed my shoulders and took a deep breath. Then I gave Karth my most understanding smile, and though it was fake, I hoped it would look genuine enough to convince the Arkan. Fine, I agreed with the green-skinned goddess. I'll trust you to keep your word. And I'll look forward to when you feel the appropriate time to talk is. Karth eyed me suspiciously, but then she relaxed and nodded.
Thank you, Beastmaker,
she said, and without another word, she left the room with confident strides. I clenched and unclenched my fists as I watched her leave, and once she had disappeared, I leaned back in my seat and sighed.
I know that was hard. But it was for the best,
Viopa assured me.
Had you started a bigger fight with Karth, things would have gotten messy.
You're right, I reluctantly agreed with the succubus goddess. We have bigger things at hand. And with Karth distracted, it's time to refocus. This isn't going to be an easy task. So I took one last drink of water and rose from my seat. I didn't know how long Karth would be preoccupied with her supposedly important business, whatever that was, but every second would count, so it was time to set out and find the library. I stepped out into the black marble hall and was unsurprised to find it utterly empty. Two Shaddaal floated by slowly, but the creatures paid me no mind, so I took the opportunity and breezed up the spiral staircase as quickly as I could. I stepped off at the third floor and made my way quietly down the corridor. The library had been the fourth or fifth door on the left, and I prayed it had been left ajar as it had been yesterday. But as I neared the room, I was suddenly overwhelmed by a group of Shaddaal. The shadow creatures individually were creepy, but a whole pack of them looming before me was on a whole other level of eerie. They were a terrifying wall of black translucence, and despite their featureless faces, I felt as if I was being glared at as they peered over at me. Shit, they had figured me out. There was no way I could slip in with them stationed there. I'd figured there would be at least one or two near the entrance or amongst the shelves, but a whole group? I couldn't get past them without stirring up trouble. I placed my hand on my bandolier and briefly considered if it was worth it to summon one of my monsters to assist me, but I didn't know what to expect from them, and the commotion would only alert Karth to my attempt. So instead, I turned on my heels and walked away. I climbed down the spiral staircase and returned to my chamber. I felt stuck. How was I supposed to accomplish anything with so many guards around? Karth's Shaddaal made sneaking around damn near impossible, and short of becoming entirely invisible, I had no idea how to get around them. I let out a sigh and wished I could speak with my mistral lovers. They were all incredibly brilliant at coming up with solutions to problems and seeing things from different angles, and my brain seemed like it was stuck going in circles. I paced around my chamber for a bit and felt a bit like a caged animal as I moved. Sure, I mostly had free rein of the castle and the grounds, but with the shadow creatures watching my every move and Karth trying to fuck me at every moment, I felt antsy. So I decided to indulge in one of my favorite comforts and retreat to the sunken bathtub. As the water filled the pool-sized tub, I took deep breaths and allowed myself to unwind. Hot water had always been a source of peace for me, and maybe some time in there would help me emerge clear-headed. I stripped down and climbed into the water. This routine was tiresome, but at least I wasn't stuck chained up in a cave. I had to find the positives, even in a negative situation. I floated in the steaming bathwater and enjoyed the heat as it warmed my chilled skin. The darkness of the shadowscape always left me feeling cold, and I couldn't wait until I could experience sunlight again. Once I returned to Mistral, I would spend as much time as possible outdoors. This palace made me miss the open air of the wilds, and the freedom it allowed me to do whatever I wanted.
Hello?
A feminine voice interrupted my thoughts, and I jerked upwards in the water at the sound. Huna? I asked as I scrambled to cover myself in the water. What? Why are you here? While I wasn't exactly the modest sort, I wasn't expecting the warrior Arkan to suddenly appear in the bathroom, and her presence caught me by surprise. The copper-haired Arkan was clad in a flimsy pink nightdress, and she eyed me from the near doorway with a curious tilt of her head.
Relax, peacemaker. Are you always so tense?
Huna chuckled, and the jovial tone of it was unexpected. What do you want? I demanded. What are you doing here in my bathroom?
Your bathroom?
Huna smirked.
I see you've acclimated to this space rather nicely.
Enough to know the importance of privacy, I replied sharply.
I know we had a rocky introduction.
That's one way of putting it, I snorted, and I flicked at the water in front of me.
Might I join you?
The Arkin inquired, and one of her wolf ears perked up as she did. The gesture was admittedly pretty adorable, and despite my irritation, I couldn't turn her down. Plus, if the warrior lowered her guard a little, maybe I could get some more answers. You're already here, so who am I to turn you away? I smirked. Hunna approached the tub, and as she came into the light, she slipped out of her nightgown, and my cheeks flushed with heat as I took in the Arkin's naked form. Despite her fierce warrior persona, the Arkin's outward appearance was soft and delicate. The goddess had a thin frame and slim hips, and her breasts were small but pert, with peach-colored nipples that looked like roses against her fair complexion. Her copper hair smoldered in the light, and the strands fanned over her shoulders prettily when she ran a hand through them. Without her battle armor, her wolf-like ears appeared more delicate and feminine, and as she started to move toward me, I noticed, for the first time, she had an iridescent wolf's tail to match.
You must understand things from my perspective,
Hunna urged me softly.
All I knew of you was that you were our enemy, and you contained our lost sisters within you. But now I know Zanrith spoke the truth.
And, what truth is that? I asked, as I tried not to stare at the sexy Arkin.
You're our salvation,
she answered, and the goddess's lips turned upwards into a smile.
You're the one to unite us and lead us to the liberation we've worked so hard toward.
Hunna sat down on the edge of the sunken tub, dipped her long porcelain legs into the water, and let out a pleasurable sigh. I think you have me confused with someone else. I shook my head. I'm not this beast maker. I'm not here to fight with you.
How much longer can you deny it?
Hunna interrupted me, and the Arkin slowly kicked her feet in the water.
Zanrith and Karth have already pointed it out to you. No mere mortal man, not even the most talented summoner, can contain the essences of 5 Archons. The effort would rip any other human's body to shreds. Simply housing one of us is taxing on the spirit.
I thought of my friend Gawain Maddox and the immense mental and psychological damage he'd experienced when Fi had possessed him. And while the Fire Mage was fine now, he'd been messed up from the ordeal for quite a while.
You're not like the other men, Griff of Njordan Falls,
Hunna murmured, and then the Arkin gracefully lowered herself into the bathtub. What are you doing?
Come now, you aren't as oblivious as you pretend to be. I want you, Beastmaker. I want you inside of me.
You're all insatiable, I snorted and shook my head.
Definitely,
Hunna agreed with a sharp grin.
Be with me. Fill my fertile goddess womb with your seed. Together, our children will rise up against the humans and take back the world that is so rightfully ours. They will tear apart this new world and create a better one, as it was before we were banished by those wretched guardians.
You really hate them, don't you? I asked, and I completely ignored her statement about offspring. The guardians.
Of course,
Hunna replied as if it were obvious, and the redhead furrowed her brow.
They killed so many of our brethren, as if we were devils when they were the true monsters.
I can see how that would be hurtful. I nodded with as much sympathy as I could muster for the wolf-eared goddess. Can you tell me more about them?
Why would you want to know anything more?
Hunna asked as she narrowed her eyes.
They were cruel beings, enough said. But you can surpass your parents' legacy and join me and my sisters. With you at our side, we will be unstoppable.
She floated over to me and wrapped her slender arms around my neck, and I knew where this was going. But she smelled so nice, and she was so beautiful that I wanted to give in to her affection. No. No. I couldn't do it. Not again. No, I insisted, and I pulled myself away from the Arkin. I won't. I don't want to give you babies. and I certainly don't want to tear the world apart. I'm not evil.
You dare spurn me?
Hoonah stared at me incredulously, and her gray eyes were as dark as storm clouds as they bore into me.
You had no problem taking my sisters, but now I offer you my body and you turn me away. Are you really so difficult to please, Beastmaker?
Griff, I corrected her. And no, I'm not. But I'm not a bad guy.
Neither am I.
Hoonah snarled and bared her teeth.
This isn't a pathetic human fairy tale. There aren't good guys and bad guys or good and evil. It's perspective, and I thought you were finally opening up to the idea that you might be on the wrong side. Karth said...
Why do you follow Karth so blindly? I cut in. Has it ever occurred to you she's just using you for your power? Hoonah squared her jaw, and the Arkan's body language exuded the ferocious strength of a warrior.
I am not being used by anyone,
she hissed at me.
I am Hoonah, goddess of war. I do not bow to others, and I am not easily manipulated either. You will not sit there and treat me as if I am lesser than you. I am an Archon.
With that, she moved away from me and gracefully climbed back out of the pool. Then she stood before me, dripping wet. But her fearsome look was so powerful, I couldn't tear my eyes away from hers.
You will regret rejecting me, Griff.
She growled.
I'll make sure of it.
Then the goddess left the room in a dramatic huff. And as soon as she did, I let out a steady groan. Fuck! I'd pissed off a war goddess who would likely speak of our encounter with Karth.
Hoonah is too prideful to admit something like that to Karth, Sarah assured me. She hates looking weak, and Karth would exploit that embarrassment to her advantage. The next time you see her, I would attempt to soften the blow. But I wouldn't worry much about her spreading the news to the others.
This is exhausting, I grumbled, and I sank down into the water. I sure hope you're right. That night, my chambers were undisturbed, but I slept even worse than I had the night before. My dreams were plagued again by vivid nightmares, and I awoke in a cold sweat. I tried to push away the visions of blood and darkness from my memories, but they were imprinted in my consciousness and wouldn't fade. It was hard to make sense of the images, and nearly impossible to tell if they were past memories of war or visions of future battles. But either way, a chill ran through my body, and I needed to escape. I practically leapt up out of the bed and dressed hastily in the clothes I'd worn yesterday. And I paid no mind to the fact that they were dirty. I needed to get out of this room and out of this castle. I required air, even if it smelled of decay and excrement. Anything would be better than this cage. So I hurried down the stairs and passed a few Shaddoll as I zoomed by, and I eyed the creatures with disdain before I slipped into the foyer and out of the enormous front doors. I walked past the courtyard with no particular destination in mind. I simply needed to walk off some of the energy I'd built up over the past few days. And while the outdoors of the Shadowscape wasn't exactly the retreat I needed, it was better than nothing. Once I passed the metal-spiked-covered gate, I emerged into the unexplored grounds of the palace, and as I moved further and further away from the castle, the landscape began to look more and more like the Shadowscape I was used to. The ground was blackened and burnt-looking, and the trees surrounding me were covered in rot with broken branches that pointed in every direction. The ruins of the land were a sharp contrast to the dark beauty of Karth's castle, and despite the destroyed features, I found comfort in the familiarity of it all. Even the gray, lightless sky was an improvement from my bejeweled chamber. My disdain of the palace was so strong that I briefly considered Utuni's escape proposal. Sarah could use her magic and open a portal, and I could return home to Mistral. Sure, I'd come home to my friends and superiors empty-handed, but at least I would have a shred of my sanity. I could resume the classes I'd fully appreciated, resume teaching first-year summoning, and most importantly, spend some much-needed downtime with my wives, lovers, mothers of my children. My children. What kind of father would I be if I didn't try? How would my offspring view me when they were old enough to understand the stories of my travels? Would I be praised for my heroism in conquering the Arkans, or scorned for my abandonment when our army needed me the most? I wasn't a quitter, and I couldn't let Karth break me down. I was a badass summoner, a powerful warrior, and a devoted husband and soon-to-be father. And I needed to remind myself of my strengths rather than dwell on my potential shortcomings. As I paced among the battered trees, I spied a well with shattered gray bricks, a twisted path with missing stones, and a rusted iron gate graveyard off in the distance. I considered which way I wanted to go. Nothing around me looked like an ideal destination, but the graveyard intrigued me in a morbid sense, so I decided to head in that direction. As I stepped over the jagged stones of the path in front of me, I heard a branch break, and at first I wasn't sure if it was just paranoia, but when I heard the unmistakable sound of footsteps approaching, I knew I wasn't alone out here. Based on the volume of the noise, it wasn't one of Karth's gigantic herd, but was likely a threat nonetheless. So I steadied myself and exhaled a deep breath. Then I peered around the grounds, and I caught sight of a pair of glowing magenta eyes that made me freeze in place. Fuck! The creature crept out of the darkness and slowly strode forward on four powerful legs. It was a strange being, with features somewhere between canine and feline. It was close to a mountain lion in size and stature, with pitch-black fur, a pair of enormous purple eyes that rose up above its head like the wings of a butterfly, and a twisted corkscrew-shaped tail lined with prickly barbs. If it weren't stalking toward me menacingly, it almost would have been cute. Minus the barbs and fangs, of course. "Whoa there! I'm not here to hurt you," I said slowly, and I tried to keep my voice as even and low as possible so the monster wouldn't see me as a threat. But as the creature opened its maw and let out a low growl, I knew it was too late. And before I could reach for an essence crystal, the monster lunged at me.